In this week's edition of One on One, we meet Maria Gabanková, who left Czechoslovakia in 1968 as a teenager and is now an artist in Toronto. She spoke to Radio Prague's Dominic Kuhn about her memories of the Soviet invasion and some of her most famous portrait subjects, Josef Škvorecký and Karel Kryl.
My guest today is Maria Gabanková, a noted painter, portrait artist and teacher. She was born in Ostrava and left Czechoslovakia with her family shortly after the Soviet invasion of 1968, aged just 17 years old. She has lived in Canada ever since and has had a book of her works published in England and had such noted figures as Karel Kryl, the singer, and writer Josef Škvorecký sit down for portraits. Maria Gabanková, thank you for joining us. My first question is, you left Czechoslovakia when you were 17 years old, so what are some of the memories that you have of your youth in Czechoslovakia?
Very many beautiful memories and also some very sad memories, especially of the last period that we were there, just before the invasion. Some memories that in regards to my parents, especially my father, who was a conscientious objector and a dissident and imprisoned, and the difficulties that my parents had as my brother and I were growing up under the communist system, the difficulties we encountered in the school system, for example, because the system sort of expected that everyone would be the members of Communist Party and the young students would be members of the communist youth organizations, and we were not. So we were, in effect, like growing up in a family of artists that were dissidents, and they were also believers in God, Christians, and so all these were basically strikes against that type of lifestyle.
A lot of Czechs think fondly on that very brief moment of liberalization or freedom or whatever word you want to describe it that happened during 1968 as Dubček came into power. People say it was a sudden flourishing of creativity, art. Is that something you remember fondly? Obviously it was the 60s as well. Was that a kind of a golden time?
Yes, it was an exciting time because I remember that very clearly. Even in grade 10, we would have very passionate discussions about politics, and it all was connected with what kind of teachers we had. And there were some teachers that were definitely not supporting the system, and they were sometimes secretly with us, the students, against the regime, and they really nurtured in us this sentiment that was obviously brewing in our hearts, and that was longing for freedom. And so we had amazing discussions, and I have great memories, and I have still some friends from that time. Of course, you know, that age, like being 15, 16, 17, we were writing poetry, and we were secretly listening to Radio Free Europe or BBC or Radio Luxembourg and listening to all the songs and everything that was happening at that time in the 60s. And that helped us to keep in touch with another world that we could only imagine. At the beginning, we were hoping that we would one day be able to explore and travel and visit that other world that was close to us. But then when all the events of 1968, the Prague Spring and all that was happening, we actually did not want to leave because it was so exciting. And we could taste the freedom and the beauty of that. And we just thought, well, now we should stay here. And yet it was really ominous. The normalization that came afterwards was one of the most desperate and kind of hopeless situations that descended on the nation. But we left and we went to Austria at the end of September.
From your perspective, from your memories as a youngster living in Czechoslovakia, were Czechs completely taken by surprise that the tanks suddenly came and ended this Renaissance?
I remember very clearly to this day that my mom woke us up. We were actually in Bratislava, where my father came from. We were with my grandfather during the summer holidays, and we were woken up. My mom said, you know, get up, you know, wake up, the Russians are here. And then we saw all that, because it was right at the border. The tanks were all facing Bratislava, the downtown, over the Danube River. And I remember sitting by the radio and writing down the things that were being spoken by the different journalists, you know, kind of informing about what is happening and also kind of suggestions as to what to do. And I still have those notes today.
And how come your parents decided to leave so quickly? Because some people left months after or years after.
Ironically, my father had two brothers that had escaped earlier, and they lived in the USA. And he applied under the Dubček regime for a permission to go to visit his brothers. And he received it on the day of the invasion. So he left immediately. We then got, through an artist union, permission to go for 4 days for an art exhibit to Vienna. As we crossed the border, I saw some young Russian soldiers. We looked at each other with kind of disbelief.
And you ended up in Canada, which is where you've lived pretty much ever since. And your work as an artist has brought you contact with several key Czech figures. For example, you were friends with the singer-songwriter Karel Kryl, and you also had him sit down for a portrait. So tell me the story behind your relationship with Karel Kryl.
It just evolved over several of his visits. He came quite regularly, not every year, but he would come for the North American tours. And the first one was we met in Vancouver. And
I should explain that this was after the 6-day invasion, and
yeah.
Karel Kryl then escaped to Germany, where he worked, yes, for Radio Free Europe. And then he was doing tours around the world from his base in Germany, right?
Yes, and he would visit various communities abroad and would do concerts, and he came to Canada many times, and we started to talk about his portrait a bit, and he had all kinds of ideas. He was always like full of amazing humor and about himself as well. So in the end he did pose for it, and it was a wonderful experience just listening to him. He was always like full of poetry and just playing with words and ideas, and so it was sometimes hard to concentrate on painting.
You also had the well-known Czech writer Josef Škvorecký, who spent much of his life in Canada, sit down for a portrait. So tell me, what was that like?
That was actually a commissioned portrait, and it was in the 80s in their home in Cabbage Town. And it was an unforgettable experience, because as I take time with the sketching and the deciding on the pose, and there was also a cat involved, Julinka, which was not cooperating very much. They had about 5 cats. Actually, one of them, or maybe that was a neighbor's cat, was called Brezhnev. That was not their cat, but Julinka was, and she had to be in the painting. And so I had this amazing privilege to spend time together with Mr. Škvorecký. And while I was painting him life-size, it's a life-size half figure, he is an incredible narrator. He's a storyteller, and he just kept talking, and I only had wished that I could have recorded all this, because it was so interesting. He talked about all kinds of things, his books and life here and there, and you know, it just, I don't know how many times we met, but it was fantastic. And all that, of course, goes into the painting, because it's so different from just, you know, having a session and taking photographs, which I also took. But this February, I had an exhibition at Loop Gallery here in Toronto, and I called it Memento Mori, and it was dedicated to Josef Škvorecký, because he passed away then, and my father passed away, who was an artist, and also Václav Havel. So this all happened within a month or so, and I felt really a very deep sense of loss and pain, and that's the only way I knew how to respond to that, because I had this exhibition scheduled and I had to meet that. So I created a number of images, and one of them actually was Václav Havel. I did that at the very end, and that was based on a video recorded, a mutual dialogue between Dominik Duka and Václav Havel, which was aired on Czech TV, and it was the most fantastic kind of exchange of ideas and revelation of their personalities. And that was filmed maybe 2 months before Václav Havel passed away. So that was kind of my homage to these three men that I wanted to express my respect and admiration.
And you also had the opportunity to do a portrait of Professor Gordon Skilling of the University of Toronto, the late Gordon Skilling, I should say. He passed away in 2000, and his portrait currently hangs in the University of Toronto. And he was also an observer of Czechoslovakia ever since, going back to the 1930s. So what was it like meeting him? What was he like as a person? Did you ever discuss with him his reflections on Czechoslovakia and so on?
I didn't know him that very closely, but I've met him several times, and I think the whole idea of doing a portrait mostly came from my inspiration of looking at him and hearing him in some group discussions, and I just found him, you know, a really interesting person to get to know. And then I thought, like I told him, like, you know, that his head would be great for a painting or a sculpture. And then he was quite, I think, interested, you know, so he came to my studio and I started to work on his head. And then he fell asleep because it was one of those very hot, humid days in Toronto, and it was unbearable in my studio. But he did not change his position, so I kind of added another piece of paper and added, like, the rest of his half figure, including his hands, which were amazing. And I painted it all quite quickly. And later on, I kind of mounted the whole thing and put some words, for example, Kafka and some of his favorite writers, and even including some of his text. So I did several studies first, and then this one portrait, which in the end, he actually bought it for the university because he was the founder of the Slavic Studies. So now it hangs there at the Robarts Library.
Maria Gabankova, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I should note, you can see some examples of Maria Gabankova's work in the online version of this interview on our website, radio.cz.
That was Dominic Yoon speaking in Toronto with Maria Gabankova about her fascinating life and work.